Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for what you have done and what you are finishing, Lord God, in our lives, because you finished it on the cross. And Lord, thank you. We just walk forth in the manifestation of what you have already willed. And Lord, we know that you are the great God, and you will and do of your good pleasure in our lives. And Lord, I thank you, God, we are laying aside every weight, every bit of indifference, Lord God. We're ready to go. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we look to you in that grace, in that mercy. We know it's only you that can do this work. Thank you, Lord, that you have made us free. And thank you, God, that the mind of Christ has come to reign in us. Let us just grow in more appreciation of it this morning. And Lord, as we sang to you just this whole day, oh, we want to see you. And it will be face to face, and we will be like you. And we give you the praise, we give you the thanks, we give you the honor, we give you all the glory. And soon face to face in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We're going to speak of one of the kings of Judah this morning. And we are studying on Wednesday nights about two of the perfect-hearted kings. And there were very few of all the kings that God graced along for the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. There was also, when that occurred, there was a split in the 12 tribes. So he had 10 tribes with one king, and he had two tribes with another. But the Lord was always going to bring his son in that line through the tribe of Judah. And you'll find in those kings that came through the line of Judah, most all of them were not very good. They did wicked in the sight of God. They didn't go after God. But the faithfulness of God, even to each one of those, he would never lift that reigning out of that line, because he promised it to David. He promised that it would come through the line of David. And our precious Lord and Savior, the Lion of Judah, amen, came through the line of David. The promises of God are yea and amen. I believe we've got some pretty good promises too, don't we? Didn't he promise that I will perform the good work which I've begun in you? Did he promise that? I believe he promised it. So I thank the Lord that when he tells me he's going to accomplish something in my life to that thing that he'd sent it to, I'm going to say, yes, Lord. There's nothing else to say. But yes, Lord, thank you. Praise God. Now, let's go ahead and read from verse 1. And this is King Uzziah. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old. Think of that, such a young man to be a king, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth. He restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. Now listen to this. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Praise the Lord. And the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I would encourage each one of us, let's let God prosper in our lives. Amen. Let's not get tired of prospering. Let's not get tired of seeking God. Amen. Praise God. Now, here's what happened. He went forth. He warred against the Philistines. He broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabrith and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbal, and the Menhunmans and the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. And his name was spread abroad even to the entering of Egypt.
and he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the turning of the wall, fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert, digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains. Husbandmen also, the vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael, the scribe of Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600, and under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, and made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears, helmets, habergeons, bows, slings to cast stones, and get this, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal, and his name was spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. I'd say that God really prospered him, didn't he? Isn't that amazing? It's exciting. I'm there, you know, and you're seeing it, and it's real, and you know how the Lord does that in your life. But we get to verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. We'll stop there. Spoke to my heart so much about this king. He also had a godly dad. And God, as we just read, so abundant to him, prospered him, so much promise. See, it was just like a grace way, a way of such mercy. The Lord revealed himself to him. Son, I'm with you. I'm for you. I'll make you as strong as you want to go. Praise God. Let's go. Let's continue on. But he became puffed up. And he missed the best. He missed the best. Now, brothers and sisters, when pride sets in, when we begin to esteem ourselves, what we're doing is we're pushing away the grace and the mercy that gave us everything, that built everything in our lives in the Lord, that truly has been the blessing of our life. And what happens is we end up just as all the kings that missed the best, that did not have that perfect heart, what they turned to, the Word of God tells us, is to an idol or a false god. Now, here we are today, and we've been given so much, we can't even contain it. The Word of God says we've been given all grace. We've been given exceeding great and precious promises. In Hebrews 11, it even speaks that we have even a better promise than all of the full overcomers of the Old Testament. We're talking a Moses, a Abraham, a Jacob, a Esther, Rebecca, every single one of them. We have a better promise. But we too must fight against, truly, I do sincerely believe, the greatest idol of all of our lives, and that's ourself. I believe it. I believe it's ourself. And what happens, and it's a very subtle thing, and I pray we would all wake up to it in whatever way it would be, if it's getting in the way, it's the worship of self. Sure, it can be self-pride, as we just saw here. It can also be self-pity. It's anything of self that begins to consume you, consume me, that would have me to begin to worship that as opposed to fully worship God. Now, I already spoke this. I was so overwhelmed this week. So overwhelmed. That worship at the altar. And it even started on Friday night. It was so tremendous. And I'm talking about the Friday before and then the Sunday and then probably the Friday before that and the Wednesday and then a year ago. But it was the upper room. There wasn't even one English word spoken. And I'm just giving a testimony, not this is the way it needs to be. We just yield ourselves to the Lord and he does it. You understand that. But you talk about the signs of the time and how the Lord does those things. He gathers them. We were talking about that on Friday night. That day of Pentecost, it said that he gathered them in one room, one place. And they were waiting for one thing. And it was the promise of the Father what was going to happen. And you think of the promises to us. He that shall come and will not tarry. He that's looking for me, I'll appear that second time. As Paul said, there's a promise. There's an out resurrection. That's a resurrection out from the resurrection. There's a first trumpet rapture. There's a bride. There's going to be that company that'll be ruling and reigning in the midst of the throne. And they will be there at the very beginning of the tribulation. Those are the promises of God. And I thank God. Here we are. We've gathered in one place. And we're waiting for one thing. You're not here. You don't gather here to be in the innumerable multitude. You don't gather here because you want to just get to heaven. And it's not just because you gather in this place that assures us anything, but it's the word of his grace that's given us everything. And that's why we gather here. That's why we come here. Because we have that word. God has graced us. That word's there for everybody. It's not exclusive to this place. And it's not to be arrogant at all. Matter of fact, that's what this message is all about. It's not about getting haughty. It's not about getting prideful. How could we be prideful and haughty when we know this is the immensity of the grace of God? You hear this message, what happens? You get so low. You get so humble. You get so thankful that, praise God, all you are is one big bucket of mercy. And it's glorious. It's, Lord, just keep it pouring it on me. That's what this message does. It doesn't make you arrogant. But you need to always fight. Because the Lord will prosper you. He'll give you these things. He'll give you visions. He'll give you this thankful heart. But it's never, ever one moment that it was anything of me. It was all him. And he did it all on the cross. Amen? Now, here we are, once again, ready, ready, holding that crown and holding it fast, that no man take thy crown. We have it. The word of God has assured us because we have that message of Paul. It's not because of any membership or because I've come here for any length of time. It's because of the grace of God. That's given us the faith to trust him and believe he is the lover of our soul. That this is the height of his pleasure. That he wants you to have this. This isn't anything you earn. This was what he's given you in his word so freely. And he's given it to you freely by grace. So here you are and you tell him thank you. He set that crown in your hand. He holds it there in his love. And he says, just cherish it, honey. Hold it fast, which thou hast, that no man take it. You didn't earn it to get it. You don't earn it to keep it. And you don't earn it to lose it. You just hold it fast and say, thank you, Lord. You have to get over this. He just loves you. You know, it is. It's love. And it says that he saw you in love. Isn't that beautiful? It in the word of God, it tells you that he saw you in love before the foundation of the world. Now, you can take that any way you want, but when somebody says they're in love with me, I'm taking that the way it should be taken. It could have just said he loved me in ages past. Yep, that would have been great. I'd love that. From the foundation world, you mean he loved me? That's great. It's more than that. He saw you. He saw you. He saw you. And he saw you in love. What does that mean to you? I pray it's everything. But he saw you in love in ages past. Now, that is the humbling. That's the breaking. That breaks my heart. That brings, again, this lowliness and praise of the grace of God and the immensity of what he has for us in a realm that there's no way I'd ever want to be haughty in that. But we still must be aware of the devil's devices. Oh, yes. We start to get our eyes on myself. If I get my eyes on a man, I'm going the wrong way. I'm so thankful we come to this meeting. This is Living Waters. Whose ministry this is? This is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'll assure you that. And I'm thankful for that. I thank God. Yes, I'm your pastor. I thank the Lord. I'm his mouthpiece. Thank you, Jesus. I bring what he has already prepared. We're here on the wing as the Holy Ghost just lets us enjoy. We're at the table here with our Father, with our Savior family. We might be sitting in pews, but we're gathered round. And hallelujah, at the same time, we're sitting in the midst of the throne. I shouldn't say in the midst yet, but on the right hand of the Father, getting ready for the midst of the throne with him. Because it says that we're seated together with him in the heavens. And I know where the Lord is seated right now, at the right hand of God. Amen? Amen. Just take what he gives. I'll tell you, you'll be a happier person. You'll be really thankful. And you know what? The Holy Ghost says he's got all the things of our precious Lord. And he says, I will show them or make them yours. Even though they've already been given. It's just letting you know what you have. And man, we're so fully loaded. You have his peace. You have his rest. You have his joy. You have his love. You have his strength. You've got everything of his. What don't you have? What do you need? You are fully supplied. Isn't that beautiful? But that's all by faith. We're never going to feel it. No, you're not. You're not going to necessarily even see it with your natural eye. Most times I like to close my eyes. When I start relying on these, I have a problem. When I start relying on my sensors or my gut, I know that's not going the right place. I need to just hone in to the Word of God. It's always steered me right. It's plucked my feet out of a net so many times I can't even tell you. I've been in places I never should have been. When I rolled over, all I saw was a face that was smiling at me, telling me he loved me. Now, self-worship is lethal. It's a subtle thing. It comes in very unawares. You see it in life. You've seen ones naturally speaking in different places. They've started out so well. Politicians. They had such a fervor and more of a pure outlook. I'll just give it maybe a few days. And then they began to get haughty about them. You see it with coaches. I like sports. See coaches come in. They start to do a good job. Then that we starts growing. It's me. And that didn't go a good place, and you know what happens there. They get haughty, things of that nature. I've seen it with ministers, people of God, where you begin to esteem yourself more than you ought. And God help all of us, because but for the grace of God, we would go there. But for the grace of God, but for the grace of God. I'll throw this in there too, just me thinking too much of me. That's why I don't go to church. Just me thinking too much of me is why I don't go to hear Paul's gospel anymore. Do you see how quickly we can get off track? That we can get truly idolizing something else. It can be a wound. It can be a hurt. It can be something that somebody hurt us with, or even something that I'm feeling. Brothers and sisters, you have got to fight. I have got to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. His bride is tough. She's tough. Gotta be. His soldiers, his good soldiers, what does it say? They endure hardness, don't they? It's not easy, saints. This isn't easy. I wouldn't sugarcoat this either. I know it. I told you about it last Sunday. How many times, Brother Hill said, I had my bags packed in my car. I'm just going to go do one more sermon, and then I'm out of here. I get it. It's a press. It is. But that's how diamonds come forth. And you know it. And you know that grace ministers to your heart all the time. Even though you're so hurt, even though sometimes you're so down, so desperate and all of that, you're prospering. I don't know how it works, but it's just the word of God. He just does it. And like I say, I just want to keep being that bad penny. I just want to keep showing up. And I'm always better. I'm always better hearing the word of God. I'm always better being around the people of God. And I thank God for that. And it's not, again, to flatter you, but I do highly esteem Christ in you, the hope of glory. I know what we're after in here for, because he put us in here, because he's after us. It's a beautiful thing. It's the only thing. As Paul said, it's the one thing. Now, brothers and sisters, this is why I love the Lord so much. He's faithful. You know how faithful he is? We rejoiced in it last Sunday. He told you he's already made the way of escape. And you think, well, what has he made the way of escape from? I'm going to tell you, temptation. What has he made the way of escape from? The thorn that he's going to send you. What has he made the escape from? The buffeting of Satan that he's going to hit you with. And why is he going to do this? Because you're not going to be puffed up. And I'm not going to be puffed up. Every time we might even remotely get a little bit puffed up, bam, it's going to come down. And sometimes we don't get it because we're a little dumb. But bam, he'll double portion it. You might need 3 thorns. You might need 5 thorns. I might need 100 thorns. But whatever it takes, Lord Jesus, thank you, God, I'm here. I'm going after God's best. I'm not going to miss this. And I thank the Lord for it. He's drawn my heart. Thank God he set the course and the ship is going to sail. Now, what he's going to do, and this is what he does, and I thank the Lord for it. He's going to bring a meek spirit. I said this on Friday night. The Lord hit me with it. See, a meek spirit is a gentle spirit. It's a lowly spirit. I don't want a meek nature. I don't. A meek nature can still be prideful. I appreciated his sister. She knew some of these ones that were as meek as people would ever think they're meek. Certain kinds of priests, certain kind of monks, certain kind of all these different things. Most meek people you could ever see. They just walk around like this and all this. She said, I knew a few of them, most self-righteous ones you'd ever meet. And that's the truth. Do you understand that? Man can't be meek. Only God can bring the spirit of meekness in your life. And I thank the Lord. That's when I can maybe do you some good. That's when the spiritual can bring some restoration, is in the spirit of meekness. Not me getting a hold of you and say, you got to get a hold of yourself. You got to be like me. You got to quit being like that. No, 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 no. The greatest thing I could tell you is, honeys, he loves us so. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I love you, brother. I love you, sister, and I do. And praise be to God, if by any means we will win. And if God be for us, and I want to be what God is for. I'm for you. I'm for you. And I'm here to tell you, nothing can be against us. Nothing. 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 He's given us such assurance, and it's so beautiful. Here we all fighting the good fight of faith. We all got these different things that hit us. All of these different things that the Lord divinely sends. Divinely. You're so ordered of temptations, so ordered of thorns. It's so perfect because you're not going to get puffed up. The moment that you think that you're making it go, bam, you're down. You're down. And you're sitting there going, oh, Lord, thank you. That's when you're growing up, is when you really can tell him, thank you. Thank you for this trial. Thank you that I'm despairing of my life. Thank you, Lord, that, man, I feel like I'm going to come apart, but you're showing me you hold me together. And I'm here. And I'm hearing him. And I haven't departed. That's a miracle. It's a miracle. And you know the miracle. And if you don't know that miracle, God help you. Now. Do you know that way of escape is the Word of God? It is. The way of escape is always the Word of God. Every escape you need is right here. And it was already made, beginning. It's all been there for you forever. For me, forever. Everything I'll ever go through, way of escape's right there. Everything I'm already in, way of escape's right there. It's the truth. He never leaves me, never forsakes me. From the very beginning, I've got every escape for you, honey. It's right in the Word of God. Now, he might not take me physically out of a trial, but I'm going to tell you something. I get in here and in that way of escape, I'm already out of the trial in the victory, even though I might physically be in the trial. And I got news for you. You ain't leaving the trial till you leave out of here and get your body like unto his own. You can think you've escaped. You think? Amen. David's life was full of these temptations. Did you know that? God humbled him. God kept that crown in his hand. Yes, he did. He did it with Bathsheba. He did it with his son Absalom. He did it with him by numbering the people. There were ones that would sit around David and said, oh, what a failure. But God said, no, it kept my son's heart perfect. Before me. It kept David humble. It caused David to write those psalms of mercy. We talked about Samson. Samson wasn't going to rely on his strength, was he? That wasn't going to happen. God said, no, honey, I'm going to make sure that you're meek and humble. And I've got an appointment for us. It's in a prison. And there I'm going to arraign you and array you with all the garments of glory. And he did. And he brought him out there in such humble fashion. He brought him out there with all the riches of glory upon him. And all those people could see was a blind, old, poor, little, scrawny man. And he said, you know, to that little boy, he said, would you put my hands on them pillars? I've got to worship my Lord. And as God gave him that strength in that one blow, more victory in that one moment than all of his life and all of the magnificence of all of what God did. And the Lord did that in that moment of such discouragement, such sadness, such look of such defeat. I think it was getting us ready for our Savior on the cross. What do you think? Amen. You ever been there? Let him take you. How about Jacob with Israel? And matter of fact, God said, Jacob, you are my Israel. Jacob was a man that didn't want that promise. He really didn't. He didn't want to go in there and get it. His mother was the one that encouraged him. And then you think about most of his life, he was trying to squander it, almost kind of ignore it, because it's going to cost me too much because my brother's going to kill me. But God said, son, you're my man. You're it. There isn't anybody else for it. That's every single one of us. Every single one of us. And that is what gave Jacob the humility and the meekness to cherish it beyond anything he could ever have. And he instilled that in his sons, and he did. And then his sons were ready to come forth because God chose each and every one of them. They were going to be the beginning of each one of those tribes. Think of that. You talk about mercy. You talk about grace. You talk about the humility of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, here we are. We're coming into this. And God again has strengthened us to have this and chosen us to have it. And he humbles us, doesn't he? He humbles us all the way along. And he humbles us all the way along because we realize always, Lord, you're the one that does it. You're the one that's performing this. You're the one that is perfecting all of these things. So I conclude with this. Here we are, we gathered today, the kings. Isn't that glorious? The kings. I just so thank God. We've been made strong in the Lord. We've prospered, as the word of God assures us, we have a better promise. So we've prospered even beyond all of our forefathers. But praise be to God, we're humbled all the way. And I'm going to leave you with this. You say, how are we humbled? The good that I would, I do not. How are we humbled? Oh my, the thorn. How are we humbled? Oh, not my uprising, but my downsetting. How are we humbled? Oh my, so perfectly. And that's why today I thank God. I believe we've taken a seat as one at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So humbled, with one big alabaster box called Paul's Gospel. And I share it with you, brothers and sisters. We pour it out at his feet, don't we? And I just say, come. Let's worship him today. Just thank him. He's made you that meek. He's made you that humble. You just take your little alabaster box. Come on down and thank him for the thorn. Thank him for the trial. Thank him for the weakness. Thank him for the temptation. Because that way of escape is bringing you into that first trumpet glory. Praise be to God.